This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Today, inshallah, is the second session, not the third one, right? So I ask Allah SWT to put barakah in it. Last week it was a try, and I guess it was a success. Alhamdulillah, we the organizers, we are very happy with the attendance and also with the patience. And with what we describe as a dedication to learn, because the class was quite quiet, alhamdulillah. So we can see the some of the principles of learning taking place, alhamdulillah. And as I guess Fadil kept on disturbing you time to time, attendance is very important, because I guess each and every one of us, you also, you have other things to do. And in fact, this is just to motivate somebody who is willing to learn. This 2 days, and this time at this moment, it is actually almost the only time that left in my life to relax. So I'm giving it to you for the sake of the program and for it to succeed. So therefore, I really wish that you will be very dedicated to the program, and patience is needed. You see, without patience, you will never achieve your goal. That's why last week, I guess, I talked about this a lot. We lost a lot of people from the attendance, or if I can say some, they left. And I wish they would come back. We don't want to lose anyone. But it's good also for anyone who thinks that he cannot be committed to the class to find a better option, which we don't like. Allah knows we want everyone to be here. Because as I told you, it is established to make you something, inshallah. So that bismillah ta'ala, at least the ummah can have somebody to rely upon. And I will repeat again, wallahi, you see, I saw Allah, we are not doing what those early predecessors did. We're getting the knowledge free. But unfortunately, the courage we have is way less than them. So you can get it here, they can never find it in their own place. The way you can get it, they can never find it. Alhamdulillah, they were very strong and very dedicated in what they believe to be the best thing to approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So life is short, my sisters. Life is short. And soon you will be departing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then inshallah you will appreciate it. The best gift you can get from this life is to be one of the students of knowledge. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ad-dunya mal'una wa mal'unum ma fiha illa dhikrullahi wa mawala." Dunya is cursed by Allah, and whatsoever is in it is cursed also by Allah, except the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whatsoever is similar to it. Aw alimin aw muta'allim, or a scholar or a student of knowledge. So these are the four things that are not cursed by Allah in this life. You get it? Dhikrullah, or anything that has relation to the dhikrullah, or learning, or becoming a scholar who can transfer the knowledge to the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let's all try and aim to the best. As I told you, this is a valuable time for me, especially. honestly speaking. After this class, I will be preparing to go to Inti College. I have another class at night. I usually come back sometimes around 2 a.m. Tomorrow also, after I leave, you have another class. And that's it. So Monday is the only thing that left after the classes of the university for me to relax. So I used to have this moment, but now you take it. So I think it's very important for you to utilize the time. Let us be happy, all of us. You also have other activities. You get an idea. So let's be very serious and be patient. I really want you to be patient. Don't take it, to be something that is too difficult for you to grasp. Inshallah, in the future, you will enjoy it. And also, once the fruit starts to be generated, you will remember these advices, and then inshallah, you will appreciate your patience, inshallah. Allah make it easy for you, and I hope inshallah this will be our people, and nobody will think of and stay on away from it. Let's be patient. Let us please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by becoming something out of nothing, inshallah. Last week I gave you an assignment, and what should I say? Fortunately or unfortunately, I saw only few reply and send the assignment. What happened to the rest? So can we make the last day? And this is the last day I will make the last day apart from the day it is supposed to be due. So can we make tomorrow to be the last day? Can we make tomorrow to be the last day? Yes? Okay, inshallah. I got a few of the names, and whoever submitted, I will keep it in record. I have the names with me. I will mention them tomorrow, who submitted and who did not, so that we will know ourselves and know the lazy among us, and also think of the punishment should be applied upon the lazy ones. We will not ask you to go. You will keep on coming if you don't write the assignment, but I guess it will really harm you without doing it. We need it. And we are not going to give it, every time a lot. No, it will come occasionally. So don't worry. Some people think that it's going to be a heavy job together with the university task. No, it is not like that. We just need a few minutes in your time. Inshallah, you will succeed in it. So, and according to our agreement, we said we will ask questions, right? And then we will teach, and then I will give you a chance also to ask your own questions, inshallah. So the format is going to be like this. One of the brothers will read, and then I will ask questions, and then I will make a comment on what he read, inshallah. Problem.
قال المؤلف رحمه الله كتاب الطهارة. المياه التي يجوز بها التطهير سبع مياه: ماء السماء وماء البحر وماء النهر وماء البر وماء العين وماء الثلج وماء البرد. ثم المياه على أربعة أقسام: طاهر مطهر غير مكروه وهو الماء المطهر، وطاهر مطهر مكروه وهو الماء المشمس، وطاهر غير مطهر وهو الماء المستعمل والمتغير بما خلطه من الطهارات، وماء نجس وهو الذي حلت فيه نجاسة وهو دون القلتين، أو كان قلتين فتغير، والقلتان 500 وقت بغدادي تقريبا بالأصح.
Last time we talked about knowledge, right, and the importance of knowledge. And I guess I mentioned some verses to support what I said. Who can help us to mention one of those verses that I quoted last week? Show the importance of knowledge without looking at your dictionary. By dictionary, your note. Father, next time, let me get the attendance so that I will just call me. Okay, I'll get it now. Okay, ciao. It's easier, because if you ask them to come up, nobody will come. One verse. Cannot. This is not your class. They have the mic, right? If the attendance is done, Father is going to take it, so that I can just call name. We're going to have only 3 questions, and then we close it. Okay, still waiting. Nobody remembers. Okay, that's a failure. Big failure. Okay, look at your dictionary, your note. Oh, from the dictionary or from your memory? Both. That's good. Okay, I need somebody to translate this verse for me. Thanks for saying the verse. Can you, when you answer, just mention your name? The first one who answered is, what is your name? So that next time I remember the name. I will not ask you again. Fahima. Okay, good. Next, who can translate the verse for it? Allah elevate the rankings of the people, the position of the people of knowledge, right? And the believers. Okay, that's good. Last question. Hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No, get. What is your name? Saliha. Saliha, give somebody else. You're done. We have Fahima, we have Saliha. So you're out. You're safe from tomorrow's questions.
Wa
alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. That's good. Somebody should translate this for us. And what is the name you said? Shafia, right? Shafia, when you say one of the, then you should have Jama.
One of the apologies.
Ah, that's excellent.
I'm sorry.
No need to apologize. That's excellent. Thank you very much for correcting. One of the hadith is the one that you quoted. Thank you very much. Somebody should translate this. We have Shafia, Saliha, and Fahima. Salam. I don't get the name.
No Tiana.
Okay. The deal. So that means if Allah doesn't want good for somebody, most likely He will not be in this line, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those people. So let us begin our lesson, inshallah. قال المؤلف رحمه الله تعالى كتاب الطهار, the book of Tahar. Usually the scholars of fiqh, when they begin their books, they start with the book of Tahar. Almost all of them. almost all of them, not all, but almost all of them, when they begin the books of fiqh, they will begin the book with the Kitab al-Tahara. Your idea. And the reason why they usually begin with it, it is because you need it first for your act of worship to be accepted, especially the first one that they always begin with, which is the prayer. Because they usually divide their works into two parts. One part is about ibadat, and the other part is mu'amalat. Ibadat means the relationship between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and mu'amala means the relationship between you and your fellow human beings. That's their nature. So since ibadat comes first, because this is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is obligatory upon you to begin with, the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you are here actually for that. You are here actually for that. So the scholars, they usually begin this book with the most important thing in this ibadat, which is a prayer. And we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا يقبل الله صلاة أحدكم إذا أحدث حتى يتوضأ. لا يقبل الله صلاة أحدكم إذا أحدث حتى يتوضأ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never accept the prayer of one of you when he has the hadith with him, حتى يتوضأ, until he performs wudu. So wudu is a form of purification. So we have to know it first, and we have to know the conditions of wudu, and we have to know how somebody is supposed to purify himself, because prayer, just let him come here. Brahman ta'al ta'al ta'al. So we have to know the tahara, the definition of tahara, the conditions of tahara, and what is it required, and how to perform the tahara, what should be used when you're making the tahara. Because you have to make wudu for the prayer to be accepted. And not only this, you have to be in a state of purity. When you look at the tahara in general, the scholars divided the tahara into two categories. So keep this as a topic. I will come back to it after I talk about the topic of the book first. Then I will come back to the tahara, inshallah. قال كتاب الطهارة كتاب مشتق من الكتب الكتاب مشتق من الكتب. It is taken from the word الكتب. It's taken from the word الكتب. كتاب is taken from the word الكتب. وهو الضم والجمع. الكتب means to gather something and to combine something in one place, to put something in a place, something that is usually scattered. When you put it in one place, this is kitab. وهو الجمع جمع والضم أو الضم والجمع. This is kitab. قالوا تكتب القوم إذا اجتمعوا. The Arabs, they will say تكتب القوم إذا اجتمعوا. The people, they do تكتب, means they gather themselves all together in one place. So that's the literal definition of kitab, and also since we don't have the Shari'i definition, this is sufficiently enough. You get idea. So kitab means, kitab is taken from the word al-jam'u wa-dhammu. Kama taqulu al-arab, arabu takattaba al-qawmu, takattabat al-qabilatu idha ijtama'at. Just like the Arabs, they say تكتب القوم, when they gather themselves, they put themselves all together in one place. Do you get it? So you see the relationship between the name given by every book. We call it kitab. Why kitab? Because you are combining the issues, putting them all together in one place. You write a book on salah, so you will chase every information that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about the prayer, put them all together in one book. So what are you doing? You're doing kitab, means you are doing al-jam'u wa-dhammu, bringing all of these those issues and putting them in one place that you think deems appropriate. At-tahara, so that's kitab. At-tahara. At-tahara bimana an-nazafa. Tahara is an-nazafa. Tahara bimana an-nazafa. Nadafa, purity, right? Purification. Yuqal tahartu thawba. Sometimes you say tahartu thawba. What does that mean? I purify the clothing. Tahartu thawba ay nadhaftuhu. So tahara literally means an-nadafa. What is the meaning of an-nadafa? Purification, cleansing. So you say tahartu thawba, I purify the cloth. In Arabic, nadhaftuhu means you cleanse it. You remove the filthy and the dirt in it. وفي الشرع عبارة عن رفع الحدث وإزالة النجاسة. وفي الشرع, the Islamic and the Sharia definition of tahara is عبارة عن رفع الحدث. عبارة عن رفع الحدث وإزالة النجاسة. محمد, أعتقد كتاب إن شاء الله. The marker if you have. عبارة عن رفع الحدث وإزالة النجاسة. عبارة عن رفع الحدث وإزالة النجاسة. So it's a word that is used by the Arabs to address the removal of najasa al-hadath, and also the elimination of najasa. You get it? To remove hadath, and also to clean the najasa, to remove it from a place. This is what is called a tahara in Sharia. So when Sharia says al-hadath, this is what Sharia is discussing. So in the language, when we say tahara, we're talking about nadafa. In the Sharia, when we say tahara, we're talking about raf'ul hadathi wa izalatul najasa, to remove hadath and also to remove the najasa from one of those three places that we will mention inshallah earlier. Do you get it? So that's the literal definition, means al-nadafa. And the technical definition means رَفْعُ الْحَدَثِ وَإِزَالَةُ النَّجَاسَةِ. رَفْعُ الْحَدَثِ وَإِزَالَةُ النَّجَاسَةِ. Do you get it? So that tahara in Islam. التَّهَارَ تَنْقَسِمُ إِلَىٰ قِسْمَيْنِ. We have two types of tahara. There's a very important introduction that you really need in order to succeed in this topic. Tahara taqasimu ila qismain, we have two types of tahara. Number one, tahara tul hadath. And number two, tahara tul khabath. Number one, tahara tul hadath. Number two, tahara tul khabath. What is hadath? Hadath is divided into two categories also. So we have taharat al-hadith, this one also, the hadith itself is divided into two categories. Number one is al-hadith al-asghar. Number one is al-hadith al-asghar. Number two is al-hadith al-akbar. Al-hadith al-asghar, and the other one, al-hadith al-akbar. What is hadath? Hadath means the spiritual state of impurity. The spiritual state of impurity. A spiritual state of impurity. This is hadath. So it can be major and it can be minor also. Spiritual state of impurity. This is hadath. So please remember this spirituality that I'm talking about. Spiritual state of impurity, which is contrary to khabath, which is the physical state of impurity. That's the khabath. Physical state of impurity. physical state of impurity. You get it. What is the difference between khabath and hadath? This one is spiritual and the other one is physical, right? If a boy passes urine on the cloth of one of us, which one is that? Is it hadath or khabath? Khabath. With the boy, he himself is hadath. But with us, the one that is affected by the urine, he says khabath. Because it is physical, something that can be seen. If somebody uses the toilet and come out, can you just look at him and say this person has no wudu? Let's say he makes wudu in the toilet and he put the towel to clean himself. When he comes up, can you see just by looking at his face, oh, this guy has wudu? And you talk to the other one saying that he has no wudu because you see some signs. Is it possible to see this? No. It is spiritual. When somebody has had it, we don't see. So we don't know about it unless if he tells us. You get it? So that's the difference. You get an idea. Which one is stronger in terms of najasa? The spiritual. You get an idea. Inshallah, you're going to understand this in the future, even like when we talk about them. The leniency the Sharia plays in the physical state of impurity is much more greater than the one that Sharia plays in the spiritual state of impurity. If you pray without the spiritual purity, understand, making those things that Allah SWT asks you to do, ghusl and wudu, if you pray without having them and you need to do them, the prayer will not be accepted. You have to repeat it again. You have to repeat it again. But if you pray with najasa, and we're going to see inshallah in the future, you already prayed, and then you see it after you completed the prayer is okay, inshallah. So we have two types of at-tahara, right? Taharatul hadith and khabath. Hadith is divided into two. We have the Akbar and the Asghar. And Khabath has three positions. Has three positions to exist in. The body, and the place, and the cloth. The body, and the place, and the cloth. So these things, inshallah, we will be talking about how to make sure that you fulfill the conditions in this regard. Tahara is one of the conditions of the prayer. So we have around five conditions for a Muslim to fulfill before the prayer is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one is Tahara. Number two is Satr al-Awra. That's the covering of the Awra. Number three is Istiqbal al-Qibla, facing the Qibla. Number three is Istiqbal al-Qibla, to face the Qibla. Number four, An-Niyya, perform the Niyya. So we have We have Tahara. We have Satr al-Awra, and we have Istiqbal al-Qibla, and we have, what did I mention? An-Niyya, and the last one is Dukhul al-Waqt, entrance of the time, prayer time. These are the five conditions of the prayer whereby you have to make sure that each and every one of them is fulfilled. So we will be dealing with them one by one, and the first one, as I've mentioned, is Tahara. قال المؤلف رحمه الله المياه التي يجوز بها التطهير سبعة مياه. المياه التي يجوز بها التطهير سبعة مياه. المياه التي يجوز بها التطهير سبعة مياه. The Sheikh talks about the مياه. He says المياه الذي يجوز بها التطهير سبعة مياه. The waters, he group them, although in Arabic, or when you look at it in reality, water is one, has no plural. But he grouped them, he says, miyah, because water is water. And the reason why he makes them in this nature, it is because you have different types of water. You have the water that comes from the sky, that's the rain, right? You have the water from the well, You have the water from the river. You have the water from the ocean. You have the water from the sea. You have tap water. You have, in our own time also, we have the technology working here. The water that you take from the fridge, you filter it. You have a lot of type of water. And also you have other water that, other type of the water that is mixed with something else, which destroys the nature of the water. Like when you make a juice. Orange juice. Sometimes you add a little bit of water, right? No, you add a lot. Otherwise, you have to buy a lot of oranges to produce a juice. So the water that you put into is mixed with something that is tahir. Do we call it water? Yes, in reality it is water, but culturally it has a name, which is orange juice. We're going to talk about this, inshallah. You will appreciate it a lot if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wish that we should reach this. So this is the reason why Sheikh called them Al-Miyahu instead of Al-Ma'u. You get an idea? He used the Jama'. You get an idea? Not use the Mufrad, he used the Jama', the plural form of the water. The plural word. So the reason why he does this, although water is one, it is because we have different types of water, as I had mentioned. So please do remember this. Question might come in the future. What is the reason why the Sheikh, write Al-Miyah instead of Al-Ma? And we have to explain it like this. Do you get an idea? So he says, Al-Miyah التي يجوز بها التطهير سبعة مياه. He said, the water that you can use to purify yourself are seven. There are seven types of water that a person can use to clean himself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him and bless him and grant him the best place, one of the best places in Firdaus. This is trying to make things easy for us. Because somebody might ask question. Otherwise, when you look at the other approaches, whereby other scholars, when they have their books, which are called also Mukhtasarat, they don't give you this detail. They just give you something which is too general as a principle for you to understand which type of water you can use. You get it? That's why it's okay. But there are some people, still when you give them the principle, they will come and ask you, how about the rainwater? Can I use it? How about this? How about that? So Sheikh said, let us close the door so that everyone will get something. Inshallah, nobody will ask question. You get an idea? Otherwise, when you look at the water, water is water. And that's why, in general, when they look at it, the water itself, they divide the water into 4-1 categories. That's how many categories then? 3, right? Okay, I just want to make sure that you're not sleeping. So, 3 categories. Right, you get it? 3 categories. This is the majority of the scholars. They say water has 3 categories. Do you get an idea? Who are they? The majority of the scholars. They said we have 3 types of water. 3 categories of water. This is the opinion of the vast majority of the scholars, which Sheikh also is one of them. And you have the minority view that believe that water, this minority, they believe that water is only 2 types, 2 categories. We're going to see the justification of each and every one of them. And which one is more closer to the truth? Which one is the opinion of the majority? 3 or 4? 4, right? Is it 4 or 6? Oh, 3. Okay, thanks. We have 3 categories for the majority, right? And for the minority, we have only 2. We have only 2. So let's look at the majority. What are the 3 categories that we're talking about? He said, number 1, al-tahur, al-ma'u al-tahur. I think it's a battery. Yes, it's a battery. Al-ma'u al-tahur. The other mic, switch it off. Maybe it will help us also too. The first one is al-ma'u al-tahur. Al-ma'u al-tahur. Al-ma'u al-tahur. The second one is al-ma'u al-tahir. Al-ma'u al-tahir. The second one is Al-Ma'u Tahir. Oh, I can't even shout. Second one is Al-Ma'u Tahir. And the third one is Al-Ma'u Najis. Al-Ma'u Najis. So we have three types of water according to the view of the majority. Number one is At-Tahur. Number two is At-Tahir. Number three is Al-Najis. That's good. According to the minority, they said we have only two. A student like this, right? Give you discount one. They say we have only two. Number one is Tahur, and number two is Najis. There is no in between. They say Tahur and Najis. So these are the opinions. We have the opinion of the majority, At-Tahur, At-Tahir, Wal-Najis. We have the minority, At-Tahur, and Najis. Yeah, only two types of water they have. What is Tahur? Tahur is a clean water that can be used, is a clean water, clean and pure water that can be used to purify something else. It's a clean water that can be used to purify something else. That's the definition extracted from the statement of the scholars. So it's a pure water in itself, it is pure and clean. And also it can be used to clean something else. So that means I can use it to make wudu, I can use it to make ghusl, and I can use it to clean anything that Sharia, to clean the najasa that Sharia asked me to clean. That's Tahur. So it is pure in itself and it has the power to clean something else. Do you get this definition? It is pure and clean in itself and also it has the power to clean something else. That's Tahur. It is pure and clean in itself and it has the power to clean something else. That's Tahur. Tahir is the one that is pure in itself but it has no power to clean something else. I mean to purify somebody. Yeah. It has no power to purify somebody. That's the definition given to it by the scholars. Oh, alhamdulillah. And it can be used to, it cannot be used to purify somebody else. That's tahir wala tahur. Which one is that? Tahir. And najis is the one that lacks both. It is impure. The one that is filthy. You get it? The one that is filthy. The one that has dirt in it, najasa, which the scholars define. Something that when you have it, you are not allowed to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until you remove it. That's najasa. So these are the three types of water we have according to the majority. The minority say, no, we have only two. The Tahir and the Tahur. True or false? False. Okay. You're not sleeping. The Tahur and Najis, right. Is it Najas or Najis? Okay, Najis. We learn Arabic language, right? So you have to be very straightforward in the way we speak, inshallah. Thank you very much. So why did this minority... We'll be talking about the opinion of the majority, inshallah, in the future. So don't worry about that. But the minority, why do you think they say we don't have water in between? Because they said culturally, please remember this, they said culturally, when a person says water, he's not talking about the water that is mixed with something else. He's talking about the plain, the clear, and the clean water. If you have a child, and then you ask him, son, go and get me water because I want to take medicine. So the child went to the fridge and he found your best favorite juice and he brought it to you. When he reaches you, what are you going to say? Boy, I said water. He will say, Mom, This is also water. You understand? He is right linguistically, but culturally, is he right? No. Because when I say water, the first thing that will come to the mind of a person that I'm talking to, I'm looking for the plain water. When I want something else, I will say ma'ul ward, ma'ul baqilla, ma'ul inam, ma'ul at-tamr. I attach it with something else, but I don't just mention the name and keep quiet. Do you get the idea? That's why they call that water, the first one, which is the whole al-ma'ul mutlaq. Please do remember this name. It's very essential because you will be going with it in the future. They will be mentioning al-ma'ul mutlaq, al-ma'ul mutlaq, al-ma'ul mutlaq. I will give you the translation of the ma'ul mutlaq inshallah later on because Sheikh has it here. So they call it al-ma'ul mutlaq, the water that is pure and clean and it has no najasa in it. Do you get it? So they said the first water, which is the whole, this is what we have. This is what is called water. Other than this, we call it something else. The water of something. Do you get the idea? So they said in Sharia, when Sharia says water, it is talking about the one that is plain, that is originally based on its own nature, which the nature did not change at all. Do you get this opinion properly? They said, other than this, we have najis. The one in between, we don't call it a plain water. Do you get the idea? The majority of the scholars have their own justification, but the closest opinion to the truth is the one that says we have only two. We have tahir, we have tahur, and we have najis. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam uses the water that his wife Maymuna used, fiha atharu ajeeb, and that is a sign. He can smell the ajeeb. The ajeeb, when you're making a cake, those first things that you are doing, the flour. So the Prophet ﷺ can smell it, but he still make a ghusl with it. You get the idea? It's because the water did not change yet. So we're going to be talking about, inshallah, things that change, that will, change the water in such a way you are not allowed to use it. But what I want you to remember here is, we have three types of water according to the majority view, and we have two types of water according to the minority view. And the three types of water for the majority are tahur, tahir, najis. And for the minority, they are tahur and najis. Do you get the idea? So that's it. So back to the Shaykh. So Shaykh said, Al-miyahu allati yajuzu biha at-tathhiru sab'atu miyah. The water that you can use to purify yourself, they are seven. There are seven types of water. قَالَ مَاءُ السَّمَاءُ, the water that came from the sama, the sky. Which category you put it? طَهُورُ وَلَا طَاهِرُ. طَهُورُ, right. It is the best طَهُورُ, right. Because who wrote it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَأَنزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً طَهُورًا. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَأَنزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً طَهُورًا. قال الله تعالى وَأَنزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً طَهُورًا. And we send down from the sky, from the clouds, مَاءً طَهُورًا, water that is طَهُور. So Allah SWT said the rain that comes from the sky, He described it as what? طَهُور. You get it? So we don't need to make any inferences here. Allah SWT already called it طَهُور. He says, أَنزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً طَهُورًا. Do you get an idea? Let's say the water that came from the sama, it is mixed when it falls into your container, and then you will see some pieces of dust inside it. Is it tahur? Or it changes? Let's say the taste tastes like the clay. Is it tahur? Tahur or tahir? Don't be scared. Allah SWT said, we send down water which is tahur. So it came down as tahur, right? And it mixed with the clay. Does it still remain at its own nature, tahur? Yes. You get an idea. It is still tahur. We were talking about this, inshallah. There are certain issues, certain things, when they change the water, the nature does not change. We will still call it ma'ul mutlaq and ma'u al-tahur. Qala ma'u al-sama, the water that comes from the sky. Qala ma'u al-bihar, and the water that comes from the bahar, the sea. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he was asked in the hadith of Abu Huraira, this is a very authentic hadith, they said, Ya Rasulullah, kunna nusafir wa narkabu al-bahra فَنَحْمِلُ مَعَنَا الْقَلِيلَ مِنَ الْمَاءِ. They said, Ya Rasulullah, كُنَّا نُسَافِرْ أَوْ إِنَّا نُسَافِرْ وَنَرْكَبُ الْبَحْرَ فَنَحْمِلُ مَعَنَا الْقَلِيلَ مِنَ الْمَاءِ. They said, Ya Rasulullah, we usually sail on the sea. We usually travel and we use the sea when we travel. But unfortunately, we usually carry a very little amount of water. فَإِنْ تَوَبَّأْنَا بِهِ عَطِشْنَا. If we use it to make wudu with it, atishna, we will be thirsty. And then we might die because there is no water. And you cannot use the sea water because it's too salty. It doesn't satisfy you at all. They said, Ya Rasulullah, we usually carry along with us little amount of water that if we use it to purify ourselves for wudu, atishna, we will be thirsty. We will be in a state of need of water. They said, Ya Rasulullah, if this is the case, أَفَنَتَوَضَّأُ بِمَاءِ الْبَحَرِ. Are we allowed to use the water from the sea to make wudu? Are we allowed to use the water from the sea to make wudu? You get an idea? So they do believe that the water is not najasa, but they are not sure because it is salty. Is it permissible for them to make use of it in terms of wudu? This is where the majority of the scholars said, we have another water in between. The tahur is known, but when they have doubt in this, after believing that this water is not najasa, that's being done something in between. You get an idea? The minority say, no, it is still tahur, but they are just confused. According to them, they don't know, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described it as tahur, although the nature and the taste of the water changes. Do you get it? So they say, Ya Rasulullah, inna nusafir wa nahmil ma'ana al-qawm wa narkabu al-bahra. وَنَحْمِلُ مَعَنَا الْقَلِيلَ مِنَ الْمَاءِ فَإِنْ تَوَضَّعْنَا بِهِ عَطِشْنَا. They said, Ya Rasulullah, we usually travel and we use the sea when we go and travel. But unfortunately, we only carry a little amount of water that if we use it to make wudu, we will be thirsty. And then we will be in trouble. We might lose our life because the water that comes from the sea cannot satisfy us. So can we use the sea water to perform wudu? And look at this excellent reply from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I really want you guys to understand. These are the benefits of this class. To learn also how to approach people and how to benefit them also more. One of the manhaj of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in dealing with question and answers, if you ask a question that is very insignificant, the Prophet will not reject you and tell you, how come? What's wrong with your brain? No, he will never say this. But he will divert the question to something more beneficial for you. They say, Ya Rasulullah. The man says, Ya Rasulullah, Mata Sa'a. When is the last day? When is the last day? He kept on asking, and the Prophet ﷺ kept quiet, did not reply him for any of those questions. So after he completed his khutbah, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, Aina Sa'ilu an Sa'a. Where is the person that is asking about the Day of Judgment? The man said, Ha ana Ya Rasulullah. He said, I'm the one, Ya Rasulullah. So the Prophet ﷺ, you see, when you ask about the last day, what are you going to benefit from it? Nothing, no benefit. And actually it will harm you, because if I know the time I'm going to die, if I know the time Qiyamah is going to happen, what do you think I will do? Relax and sleep. Take my life at ease. When am I going to start worshipping Allah? Last minute, just like the final exam when you have, you studied when? Last night, right? So last night you're going to forsake your family and go to the masjid, looking at the door, waiting for the time the angel of death will come. So at the end of the day, did you gain or you lost? You lost. So alhamdulillah, Allah SWT make it hidden, so nobody knows, so that you will keep on preparing and waiting for the time you will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You get it? So when the man asked, he says, Ya Rasulullah, when is the last day? The Prophet ﷺ did not reply, and he did not reject him, and he did not reject the question, but he diverted the question to something else more beneficial for him. He asked him, he said, Mada a'adatta laha, what have you prepared for it? You're asking about the day of judgment, that means you're ready to see it. He said, what have you prepared for it? So you should be asking, how can I make a preparation to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, instead of asking about the time am I going to meet him, when is it? You should ask, what is the best approach to be prepared when it comes to meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So that's Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And sometimes Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they ask him a question, he will look at the nature of the questioner and give him the answer of the question, and give him also some other issues that are related to his nature, which will benefit him in the future. We will see this inshallah. What did he say? They say, Ya Rasulullah, we used to travel and we use the Bahar and we have only little amount of water. If we use it, we will be in trouble. Can we make use of the sea water? He said, yes. And not only yes. He said, Huwa at-tahuru ma'uhu. He said, Huwa at-tahuru ma'uhu. He described the sea water to be what? Tahur. This is the first category of the water. And the water that we're talking about, and the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, should be the water that you use to purify yourself. أَنزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَعَنْ تَهُورًا. And the Prophet ﷺ, he was addressing the issue of the Bahar. He said, هُوَ الطَّهُورُ مَاؤُهُ. It's water, it's pure and clean, and can be used to cleanse somebody else, to clean something else, to purify a human being from that spiritual state of impurity, which is lack of wudu in this case. So the Prophet ﷺ said, you can use the sea water. Do you get an idea? He said, هُوَ الطَّهُورُ مَاؤُهُ. He described it to be tahur. So we learn from this the support of the statement of the Shaykh that says we have seven types of water to be used. And the first one is مَاءُ السَّمَى. The second one is مَاءُ الْبَحَرُ. Where did he get it? From this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. So nobody can come and tell you that these books of fiqh, they are useless, right? Some people say, right? May Allah guide them. They don't have any evidence. That shows what? Ignorance. Understand? Little amount of respect in learning. You get an idea. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward our scholars. So, قَالَ مَاءُ الْبَحَرِ. مَاءُ الْبَحَرِ is the sea water. قَالَ هُوَ الطَّهُورُ مَاءُهُ. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, الْحِلُّ مَيْتَتُهُ. And whatsoever is found to be dead in the sea is halal. MashaAllah. This is too general, right? الْحِلُّ مَيْتَتُهُ. Every single thing that dies in the water is halal. What do we mean? Your chicken fell in the sea and dies. Halal or haram? Halal or haram? Ya jama'at al-halal. Which one is that? Halal or haram? And this is not a plus. This is this plus. Halal or haram? Haram, right? But the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Hillu Maytatuhu, whatever dies in the sea, and this chicken dies where? You have your cow, Udhiya is when? Sunday, right? You buy your sheep, mashallah, you're so happy. Yeah. The morning of the Eid al-Adha, the Imam just finished his khutbah, that's his prayer, that means it's the time to slaughter the sheep, right? You're so happy. And your sheep, you are next to the sea, jump into the sea, killed himself. And somebody asks you, then you have to throw it away. You say, no, Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Hillu Maytatuhu. Is it good application? No, right. So what does he mean? He's talking about animals that cannot live without water, right? The definition of sea animal that Allah SWT makes them halal is any animal that cannot survive without being in water. How about fish? Yes, all types of. How about shark? That's a very complicated question, because always people ask. And I don't understand why people are asking. Wallahi, whenever I talk about this issue, I must get some question saying, how about shark? And if I believe me, sometimes, so he also, if I do not mention this, somebody's going to ask, how about shark? It looks like people want to eat shark, but they have doubt. Right. How about shark? Is it halal? You see? Not sure. But look at the principles we mentioned. That's why, let me advise you something, sisters. Have a very strong faith. If you're taught a formula and a principle, whatsoever you do believe to be under this principle, just say yes, it is one of it. But the problem is, we always have doubt. When the question comes, when it comes to the application, things that are deeply involved, we will have doubt. We say any animal that cannot live without water, a shark. Did you ever see a shark in a cage? How many seconds it needs? Few minutes, right? Out of water then? Masalama, dead, right? What does that mean? It means it is one of the seafood. When it dies, can I eat it? Yes, 100%. Do you get the idea? How about the whale, the blue whale? Can you catch it and eat? I don't know who you are, but can you catch it and eat it? Islamically, can you eat it? Yes. You get the idea. And anything that is called fish, you can eat. Last two questions. How about pig? I mean, you see an animal in the water that exactly look like the pig. No difference. The difference is this one is inside the sea and the other one is outside. How about this one? Can you eat it? Why you have doubt? I know that the Mr. Pig on the land, you cannot eat it. But how about the pig in the sea? Can you eat it? Yes. No doubt. Just look at the formula. It says anything that cannot survive without water can eat it. Okay, the funniest question, which I found in the book, I used to believe that it is a legend, right? I mean, it's something, just somebody imagining things and putting them into existence, which they don't exist. But I found it in the book written by one of the scholars, a great scholar, I'll not mention his name, but great scholar, still alive, Allah SWT reward him. Always teaching in the masjid of the Prophet, and he doesn't take break every day. Very old man, he has no white hair. From the time we reached Medina, up to the time we left, no black hair, I mean. Very old, they bring him in a wheelchair. But he used to teach, and every day he teach, no break. So he wrote in his book, he says, how about insanul ma? You put your net in the river, you get it, to catch something. What are you trying to catch? Fish, right? You put the net, when you bring it out, the guy smiles. He tells you that, yeah, I'm your brother. Assalamu alaikum. Afakabar. He tried to shake your hand. You said, no, Allah SWT call you fish. But let's say if it is true, there is something like this. Can they eat? I can eat, but I cannot eat it. But can somebody eat it? Yes. If there is somebody, we know that, let's say this thing doesn't survive except inside water. So it's just fish that looks like human being, right? Allahu alam. We're going to talk about this, inshallah, in detail when we talk about Al-At'imah, inshallah. Don't worry. So I just want you to appreciate the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, huwa at-tahur ma'uhu al-hillu maytatu. Why did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mention to them? Why do you think the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to them the second part of the answer? They just need the first part, right? Tahur does it. But why did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mention the second part? Because, I give you half of the answer. Because, fill in the blank. Because, you see, look at the hadith. They said, Ya Rasulullah, we always use sea, right? That means the people are always dealing with the sea, right? So if they complain for the water, they might be complaining for food. So they need to eat the food they find in the sea. So the Prophet also benefited them more. Tell them also anything that dies in it, you can also eat it. You don't need to slaughter it. Do I need to slaughter fish? No. Right. Some scholars said it is recommended to slaughter those fish that has blood in them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called fish and whatsoever in it, lahman tariya. The only meat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called fresh meat is what? Fish. Qala ma'u samai. Wama ul bihari, and the water of the sea. Wama ul nahari, and the water that is taken from where? The nahar, that's the river. Okay. What is the evidence for this? The same hadith that we use to support the bahar, we use it also for the nahar. Do you get it? The same hadith you use to support bahar, you use it to support the nahar also. Is that clear? قَالَ وَمَاءُ الْبِئْرِ, and the water of Bi'r. What is Bi'r? The well, right? So these words that already passed, next time when I come and move forward, that's how we learn Arabic, right? Otherwise the class will be translation class and I don't want it. And let's just minimize the translation in the class. So sometimes I would and go, inshallah. You assume that you already know the words. Good idea. قال ماء البئر. البئر, what is بئر? The well, right?
Mm.
What is the evidence for this? There was a بئر called بئر بضاعة. بئر بضاعة during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said to him, Ya Rasulullah. In this version of narration, they said, Ya Rasulullah, إِنَّكَ تَتَوَضَّأُ مِمَّاءِ بِئِرِ بُضَاعَ إِنَّكَ تَتَوَضَّأُ مِمَّاءِ بِئِرِ بُضَاعَ إِنَّكَ تَتَوَضَّأُ مِمَّاءِ بِئِرِ بُضَاعَ وَفِيهَا مَا يُنَجِّ النَّاسُ وَالْمَحَائِضُ وَالْخَبَثُ إِنَّكَ تَتَوَضَّأُ مِمَّاءِ بِئِرِ بُضَاعَ وفيها ما ينجي الناس والمحائد والخبث. They said, Ya Rasulullah, you always use the water that is taken from the بئر بضاعه. And everyone knows that فيها ما ينجي الناس. I mean, those things that you use to clean yourself. When somebody uses the toilet paper and all of those things that you use to clean yourself, people, they usually pack them and put them in that well. So that means it's going to be a very disgusting place, right? And the things also that is used by the sisters when it comes to the period, they put it inside. So the nappies of the kids also are placed inside that place. Everyone knows that this is the place of those filthy things. Wal khabath, and then other types of najasa people they put inside. But we usually see you taking the water and making use of it. So what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said? I want you to pay attention because I want to ask you a question here. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-ma'u la yunajjisuhu shay'un." Very strong statement. He said, "Al-ma'u la yunajjisuhu shay'un." There is nothing that can make a water najasa. So what is the point of having this session then? In your ears that there is a type of water, three types of water, right? Tahir, the whole, najis. And the Prophet ﷺ said, as long as water is water, nothing can make it najasa, right? He said, Al-ma'u la yunajjisuhu shay'un. Nothing can make a water najasa. How would he justify this? If I go to take, if I take a water in a bucket or in a container, and I see najasa in it, I mean, the boy just passes urine, make the nappy full, akramakumullah, and he remove it by himself since the mother is busy. Help her, take it and say, oh, mashallah, this is my father. My father's water, let me help him with some additional increase of items. Maybe he might need in the future. So he put the nappy inside. So I came, can I make wudu with this water? Can I make wudu with this water? Still then I did not hear anything. Can I make wudu with this water? Yes. You're not sure, since the yes is very little. So you're not sure, right? So I can see the urine inside and then still I can make use of it. Right? When the boy comes and pass urine inside the water, I can still tell him, أَلْمَاءُ طَهُورٌ لَا يُنَجِّسُهُ شَيْءٌ. Water is pure and clean and nothing can make it najasa. Right or wrong? Wrong, right? Right or wrong? Wrong, okay. So how are you supposed to understand this hadith then? The scholars mention the following. Imam Abu Dawood, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala extend his blessings upon him, he said, I visit the place, the Bi'r Wada'a place. And he mentioned that he tried to measure the water in the well. It's not that deep, you can get inside also. So he said, they mentioned that actually the Bi'r it's found in munhadir min al-ard. Nobody has the marker. Is that munhadir min al-ard is like a valley, a place which is down, little bit down, right? So the bir is down there, and it is in the position of the river. The river comes. So usually people, they don't go and put those things inside. That's the explanation given by Imam Al-Khattabi in his book Ma'alim al-Sunan, the commentary of Sunan Abi Dawood. Because either I get that or one of the commentaries of Bulugh al-Maram, somebody quoted this statement of Abu Dawood. So what happened is the water is in the well, the bi'r is in the valley. Do you get it? So, and it is in the road of the river, the position of the river. The river usually comes. Sometimes the river has no water, right? When trains or some water comes from another place, then the river will get water. We have Wadi al-Aqiq next to the Islamic University of Medina. We have Wadi al-Aqiq. Most of the time it has no water, but sometimes you will see water coming. From where? Allahu alam. Sometimes when it rains, then this is the position and the road for the water. So they mentioned that actually the bi'r is in this place, munhadirun min al-ard, means a low level of the earth. And it's in the road of the water, majra al-nahar. Majra al-nahar means the way the nahar used to pass. So it is in the majra al-nahar. So people, they don't go intentionally. Please do remember this. Don't say the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are people like that, they know that this is bi'r and they put their teachings inside. No, they don't do willingly. That's the explanation of some scholars. But the river usually take it from the garbage place. So when it brings it, so sometimes when the river goes, the remainder of the things will remain. The next movement of water will come and it will remove it and throw it away. Then the water will become clean. When was the time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam uses it? When the najasa is inside? No, because they even mentioned وَلُحُومُ الْكِلَابِ بِالْإِجْمَعِ لَحْمُ الْكَلْبِ نَجَاسَ. The meat of a dog is najasa. See, they said, Ya Rasulullah, we put dogs inside. Dogs are placed inside and their blood inside and everything is inside. Of course, the Prophet ﷺ will never go to that water and the dogs inside and everything and take it and make wudu. That's impossible. So the explanation that is given by the scholars, which is supposed to be taken into consideration, and I do believe it should be the only explanation in existence to explain this issue of the Prophet ﷺ making wudu with this water, which says the bi'r is positioned in this place and the river will park all of these things and put them in the well, and then it will take it later on by itself. So sometimes it is filthy and sometimes it's pure and clean. What time the Prophet ﷺ use it? When it is pure and clean. You get the idea? So the case is closed. There is no contradiction between this hadith and the other hadith that we are going to use. Water can change if something changes. But this hadith says, إِنَّ الْمَعَ طَهُورٌ لَا يَنَجِّسُهُ شَيْءٌ. Nothing can change the water. So the Prophet ﷺ is talking about the water that is pure and clean. And this this is how we should explain it. You get the idea? Do you get the hadith properly? Please do remember and memorize every single hadith and ayah we are quoting in this place. Imam al-Shafi'i says, مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْحَدِيثَ قَوْيَتْ حُجَّتُهُ. If you learned hadith, your hujjah, your evidence is going to be very strong. It is not easy for somebody to defeat you because you have the root with you. مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْحَدِيثَ قَوْيَتْ حُجَّتُهُ. If you learn hadith, Imam Shafi'i says, your hujjah is going to be very strong because you have the evidence and the principle and the root for everything. Do you get it? قَالَ وَمَاءُ الْبَحْرِ وَمَاءُ النَّهْرِ وَمَاءُ الْبِئْرِ وَمَاءُ الْعَيْنِ. And the water of the ayn. Ayn is a place where water, open it and comes out. Like when you go to the mountains, you will see the water breaking some part of the mountains and coming out. This is what is called al ayn. You get it? A place that water gathers because there is a part of the earth that is producing water from it. Water is generated. This is the ayn. You get it? This one is tahir. Because it's natural, it looks like the bi'r also itself. What else he says? He says, وَمَاءُ الثَّلْجِ وَالْبَرْدِ. The snow and the ice, both of them, the water is pure and clean. Because they are natural water sent down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you get it? قال المياه التي يجوز بها التطهير السبعة مياه. The water, the types of water that you can purify yourself with them, they are how many water? Seven. How many water we have? Seven. He said, ماء السماء وماء البحر وماء البحر وماء النهر وماء البئر وماء العين وماء الثلج وماء البرد. Do you get an idea? They are all type of salm, thalj. Okay, I will leave you with this. So please do reflect upon this when you go back home. Read it a couple of times so that the word will be in your brain. And I'm telling you, inshallah, sisters, if you're patient, it is going to take only a few moments. I appreciate a couple of you, many of you, when they submitted the assignment, I see it in Arabic. That's good. Forget about the mistake, just try to write it at your own best. Well, I will keep it and I will bring it here, inshallah, for analysis. Without mentioning the name, we will read it and fix it during our Arabic class. You get an idea? You will fix it, you by yourself. The way she said it, we will not mention the one who is writing, but I will just read the statement and then you guys will tell me whether it is correct or wrong. We will fix each and every one of you's assignment, inshallah. So when you go home, read the words a lot so that the word will stick in your brain. You remember them. This is how we learn Arabic language. So as I said, please do exercise patience. Patience, patience. Inshallah, in a few days, you will be expert in the system, inshallah. The class will be easy, bismillah. So even if you find it difficult, this is the nature of everything. At the beginning of it, difficult. But at the end of it, it's enjoyment. And also you will find it very interesting, bismillah ta'ala. So I will stop here, bismillah. And you can come up with your question and answers. Let's have 10 to 15 minutes of question and answers, inshallah. You can ask about anything. You ask about this lesson or any other issue, inshallah. Where is the mic? It's with them. Get the mic, is better. Yes. No, this one, inshallah, will be in the next sessions. He will be talking about the thing that can change water and take it from that nature to another thing. Yeah. So, but he was just telling you that whenever you find one of these type of waters, you can make use of any one of them. It's okay, as long as they remain in the way they are. Because if you have the water that's that came from the rain, and you mix it with apple, you don't call it rain anymore. It is apple juice then. You get it, inshallah. Next question. Any question? Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum assalam. Okay, that's the thing that I was trying to run away from explaining. Because the detail will come when we talk about food, but since you asked, I will answer you. You see, the sea animals are divided into two categories, or if you wish, say three categories. Those that cannot survive without water. This one, all of them are halal. Anything, snake, scorpion, pigs, and what else? Donkeys, monkeys, and if they cannot survive without being in the water, they are what? Halal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called them what? Halal. So it's halal. Nobody can tell you that, no, you cannot eat that lion monkey. You tell them, no, this is fish. They came, they asked Imam Malik, listen to this. They asked Imam Malik, they said, Imam, what is the ruling with regard to eating pigs and dogs that are found in the Bahar? He said, you are the one that called them pigs and dogs, but Allah called them fish. You get it? That's a very nice answer, right? So you are the one who is calling them dogs and pigs, but Allah SWT called them all fish. So that's it. So shall we call it a dog? No, we just call it fish that looks like dog. You get it? So as long as it cannot dig without water, then it is halal. You have the other type of the sea animal, the one that can survive in water and can survive also out of the water. This one, you look at the percentage of its existence and life in the water. If it stays in the water more, then it is one of the sea animal. You can eat it even after it dies. You get it? If it stays in the water more, then you can eat it even after it dies. But when it stays out of the water more, then you apply on it the law of the land animal. What is the law of the land animal? When it has fangs, there's long teeth that lion has. If it has them and it uses them to defend itself and to catch its prey, you cannot eat it at all. Like what? Crocodile, right? Crocodile, I think all of the teeth are like that. You understand? At least lion is only 1, 2, 3, 4. But crocodile, how many it has? All right. Can we eat it? No, because it lives, I guess, out of the water more. That's why sometimes also when they catch their food, they get it inside water, but when they eat it, they bring their head out also to make sure that they swallow it properly. You get it? So when it lives in the water more, can we eat it when it dies? Yes. When it lives on the land more, can we eat it? It depends on the nature, right? When it has the fangs, that it uses the fangs to defend itself, then we don't eat it. It is like dogs and lions and tiger. But when it doesn't have it, then when we slaughter it, we can eat. You have to slaughter. When it dies, you cannot eat it at all. But when you slaughter it, you can eat it. Like what? The turtle. Yes, there is an idea. How about the crab? How much it stays in the water? Is it more or less? I think it's more. That's what they say. I never knew, but somebody told me that it stays in the water more than the land. Can you eat it? Yes. When it dies, you can eat it. Do you need to slaughter it? No. You don't need to slaughter it. How about the grasshopper? Is it halal? Yes. Do you eat it? No, right? I can't eat, but it is halal. Halal, halal. I cannot eat it, but it is halal. Yeah. So you leave somebody who wants to eat it, don't talk about it. Let him enjoy his meal. But the question is, since grasshopper is a land, it's not sea, right? But the land animal, you must slaughter it, right? The grasshopper, do I need to slaughter it? No, that's Allah's for to make it halal even after it dies, right? They mentioned that somebody got hundreds of them. He was so happy that he's going to get walima. But somebody advised him, no, you must slaughter, it is better. So he tried to slaughter the grasshopper, right? So he opened one small hole. Before he catch one, 10 flies. So he slaughtered, he opens 50 flies. Before he finish, he gets only a little amount left with him. So that's Allah's mercy. But how do you kill them? You have to be very lenient, right, and soft, and make sure that you don't punish them when you kill. You see, there is one type of fish. You see the fish when you go to the market to buy the black ones, that they've always put it in the water because I think if they kill it, it will go bad. You know that, right? Yeah. They say it's also in the canteen. You see the black fish and a little bit long. Very soft, right? Very tasty also sometimes. How do you kill it? You have to make sure that you kill it in the nice way. But the way they are killing it, that's punishment. They put it in the plastic sometimes. They put salt. That's ta'adheeb. You will see it jumping, that's ta'adheeb. The Muslim should not do this. We should look for another means. Just hold it and slaughter. Take the knife. Just cut. Hold and cut, and that's it. It will die. Just like the way you slaughter something else. But to put the salt and get it, that's punishment. You get the idea. So when you buy it and they're trying to do this, tell them, no, I don't want that. Take it back to the house. And you'll do the slaughtering by yourself. If you don't run away. Do you get the answer? Do you get your answer? Inshallah, detail will come more in the future, inshallah. We don't know when, but it will come easy later. Next question. That number? The other part, the sea animals, we divide them into 6 categories, right? The sea animals, we said they're divided into 6 categories, no, 10 categories, right? Oh, only 3. Okay, I'm sorry. Only 3 categories, right? The sea animals, they're divided into 3 categories, right? You sure? Sure. Okay, alhamdulillah. Let's take only 3. 10 minus 7, right? Okay. 3. Which one is number 1? The one that cannot survive without water. Number 2. The one that can survive, and it survives more in the water, right? It is like what? Like the same, the first one, right? And the one that survives in water and survives out of water. Like the second category, but it survives on the land more, right? What is the ruling here? You apply the ruling of the land animal on it, right? When it has legs, then you don't eat it. When it has only hands, then you can eat it, right? Is that what we mentioned? When you apply on it the law of the land animal, you look at the leg. If there is leg, then we don't eat. So if it doesn't have leg, then we can eat, mashallah. Through a horse. Oh, so what did we mention then? When it has the... What is this? Can somebody say it so that I can close the page? The fangs, right, those long teeth that they use. And is it to say that anyone that has it, we cannot eat? No, because rabbit also has it, and rabbit is halal. Arnab, even in Malay languages, is arnab, right? Meet the people who speak Malay, I think we should charge you. You must understand Arabic quicker than anybody else. Because in the language, it has a lot of words that are Arabic, right? Faham, tafaham, and what else? Mubadhir, Tabdir, Kursi, Arnab, a lot of words. You get an idea. So it should be much easier for you than others. You get it? So see how I promote the language? So now you will be shy, inshallah, after a few days to speak in any other language. So these are the types of animals. So we don't say anything that has the fangs we cannot eat, but we're talking about the one that depend on it. Abdurrahman, Latimus, Latimus. The one that depends on it, it catches prey. When you take a lion and remove that part of the teeth, what will happen? You think it can survive? No, because it cannot eat anymore. Yeah. When you take a dog and remove those things, khalas, the dog is finished. No more dog. You get it? It will be sheep or something else, but no dog. So when it uses the fangs to catch its prey and also to defend itself, then we cannot eat it. You get it? So if you have an animal that lives in the sea, and lives also on the land, but it lives on the land more, we apply on it the law of the land animal. When it has the fangs, we don't eat it at all. When it doesn't have the fangs, we can eat it if we slaughter it. You get it? We don't eat the dead one. We can eat it after the slaughtering. So that the turtle, can we eat it? Yes. But do we have to slaughter it? Yes. Because it lives out of the water sometimes more than the time it lives in the water. So we can eat it after slaughtering. But how do you slaughter a turtle? Allahu alam. We used to do, but it's different issues. Okay, any more question? Any more question? 2 minutes left. No questions. So if there is no question, then I think I shall release the first group, the last group, which I have a new message to you to see how we're supposed to carry on the class in a better way, inshallah. Thank you very much for coming. May Allah SWT reward you and increase your knowledge. May Allah SWT bless whatsoever you learned. And please do exercise patience, and come early. Please, those of you who come late, please come early so that you will not miss something. Next time I will take the name of the one who came late so that I will ask her first in the next class. Inshallah. Thank you very much. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Okay, the Hafaz should just stay for 15 minutes and then you can go, inshallah. There is the please, before you go, the Arabic book is ready. They will give it to you now.